Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, The Year of the Lord's Favor.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 61, this prophecy of Isaiah. About halfway through this first reading, we will hear they will be called oaks of righteousness. And this is the text from which the Oaks Academy took its name. So let's listen together to this, the word of our Lord. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines. But you shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory. Because of their shame was double, and dishonor was proclaimed as their lot. Therefore they shall possess a double portion, everlasting joy shall be theirs. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
And we continue our reading in Isaiah. It says, For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoot, and as a garden causes what is sown in to spring up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Amen. It's the word of our Lord. And let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day provided to us, for your grace, your love. And so, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and, Lord, that the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing in your sight. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, the new year is always a great time, I think, to sort of hit the reset button. And for many of us, the new year is a way to think about some things that perhaps we want to work on, or perhaps we want to just spend a little bit more time with. And if you're like most people, family, your job, and your health are things that almost every year I always think to myself, I should dedicate a little bit more time to these in some way. Now, when I was thinking about the new year, it's very easy for me to think about Jesus. And not because of, the ball dropping or something like that, but it's easy for me to think about Jesus because very early in his ministry, Jesus pretty much inaugurated a whole new year, or what you might even say, a whole new era. It was as if Jesus hit the reset button on human history up to that very moment, that very day. And then after that moment, it was human history was changed. It was a whole different era we were in. And so what I'm talking about is primarily what happens very early in the ministry of Jesus. He's probably been preaching for a few months already in some of the surrounding villages of Nazareth. But eventually he goes back to Nazareth. That's his hometown. And as he is there, the religious leaders of the synagogue recognize him as a teacher. And so he's given the honor on that morning or that afternoon to read from the scroll, and particularly the scroll of Isaiah. Now, I don't know if He was kind of assigned a reading for that morning, like sometimes John will assign me a reading, or if he just opened it up and it just ended up being that it was at Isaiah 61. I don't know. But all I know is that that morning, as he read from the scroll, he came to this place and he read this, and it comes from Isaiah 61. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And the story tells us that he rolled up the scroll again, and he said, "Today, this has been fulfilled in your midst." And it says that the whole crowd kind of stared at him and wondered, what's he talking about? What's going on? Now, what Jesus, in a sense, is doing here is he's hitting the reset button on human history, and he's ushering in a whole new era, a whole new age. But you might be thinking to yourself, come on, Pastor, this is like two sentences, like big deal. But it is a big deal in this one sense. You know, we've been looking at the prophecies of Isaiah. Last week, we looked at Isaiah 55. And one of the truths that come out of that is that grace is free. It doesn't cost you anything. All the benefits of grace are given to you, and it's because of Jesus Christ. But in this prophecy that we'll look at, we're going to look at more of what kind of ministry was Jesus going to do. And so in this prophecy, what Jesus is doing is he's calling back to the past, and he's bringing the past now into the future. So the history of this prophecy is very unique. So listen to this. So Isaiah 61 is written at the time of exile. The Jewish people, both from Israel and from Judah, have been cast out. They've been away from the land probably a few years by now. And Isaiah says, you will come back to the land, but there is a person who will bring you back to the land. And this person will be a person who has an anointing upon their lives that will truly bring freedom. And, you know, if you think about it, if you were a person that had been cast out of your land, and all of a sudden you hear this great story, this great prophecy that you will be brought back to the land, but you'll be brought back by this leader, this anointed one, who will bring all types of healing, all types of freedom to your life. During the time of Jesus, this message would have been just as powerful. You know, Jews are in the Jerusalem. All of Israel is pretty much under Roman occupation. The New Testament doesn't highlight this a lot for us because it's not the story the New Testament is trying to tell. But we do know from records and we do know from historical artifacts that the Roman occupation was a tyranny. It was an oppression. The people felt like they were being overruled not only by foreign powers but by foreign gods. And so Jesus, at this time, he says, I have come to bring freedom. Just like Isaiah prophesied it for the exiles to return home, I now tell you that I will bring freedom, and I bring it in abundance. So what kind of freedom is Jesus bringing? The first of all is he says that the freedom he brings is the proclamation of good news. And basically what that means is he brings preaching. Jesus tells us that his message is one that will be cherished and repeated time and time again. And so we know that the message of freedom comes first and foremost to us through the spoken word, or as we might even say, through the word of God. It also says that he will proclaim good news to the poor. He says, I come not only for those who are poor in spirit, but those who are at a disadvantage, helpless in themselves, at the mercy of powerful people. I come to bind up. Basically, this is saying I've come to bring a bandage of personal ministry, of soothing and healing, to the brokenhearted, all of us who are in some way broken down, emotional prostration, or the conviction of sin. And then he says, I bring freedom to both the captives and the prisoners. And really, Jesus is saying here, I bring a freedom that's almost like an emancipation from slavery. But not only an emancipation of physical slavery, but he also says the emancipation of a spiritual slavery that the people find themselves in. So Jesus says, my ministry, the person that I will be known as, the character of my life and my work will be characterized by Isaiah 61, which is a work of freedom. Now, this morning, I get it. You're thinking to yourself, man, this is quite a not that deep of a message. And I get it, because in many ways, the message of Christ's freedom is a very common occurrence for us. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of glad that when we talk about Jesus' freedom, that it is commonplace. Because the truth is, this is also the story of the gospel. You know, throughout my life, I have known many people who maybe others gave up on, but yet, in the freedom of Jesus Christ, they overcame their adversity, and they were more than conquerors. I've known of people that society thinks should be thrown away, lock them up, never bring them back out into the sunlight again. Now, there is a place for justice. I don't deny that. But then all of a sudden, these people who have been shunned and rejected by all of society, all of a sudden, they are restored and they discover this newfound freedom. Now, we might think to ourselves, man, this is really good things. This is a great message. But the just opposed to this is that, you know, the most unforgiving, ungraceful people I know, and maybe it's because I work, well, how do I say this? John, close your ears. No. But some of the most unforgiving people I know are Christians. They really are. And I think part of the reason is because we forget as Christians that this freedom story is not only a story for us, but it is a story for everybody. And I know how anger works in the human heart. I know how bitterness makes its way into our spirit. I know what death fruit looks like. I know it in my life. I know it in the life of others. But yet, one of the things that we must be reminded of time and time again is this. Jesus Christ came to bring freedom for all. And you may not want to believe that for the person that is your enemy or you don't like, but Jesus Christ came for them. His message of freedom is for everybody. Now, one of the great things, and John highlighted this, is it says those who live into this message of freedom, accept it, love it, live it out, and this is what John said, this is the scripture verse for the Oaks Academy. It says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Now, I was told the other services when I was a kid, and my brother and I, we thankfully kind of grew up around a lot of trees. And one of the things that I have this memory in my head is, I don't know, maybe I was this tall. I don't know. I was pretty short at that time. I've always been kind of short anyways. But my brother and I, one day, we tried to hug an oak tree, and we couldn't get our arms around it, and so we giggled. But I think about that image a lot because an oak tree is very strong. It has very deep roots. And one of the things that I love about this is that Jesus is saying this, you are oaks of righteousness. You are, your promise of freedom, your assurance of Jesus Christ is so solid. It is so ingrained. It is so assured for you, just like an oak tree is firmly planted in the ground. And so one of the things that I encourage you is this. The world tries to ensnare us back into captivity. The world tries to seduce us back again into a form of slavery. But yet, this promise is for you today. You are an oak of righteousness, and your freedom is all but secured today. And so you might feel today that you're slipping. Maybe you feel like you're going in a bad direction. Hey, if I can be honest with you, been there myself. But I also know this. I am, and you are, an oak of righteousness. The work of freedom does not depend on you. It depends on the one who does it. It depends on the one who loves us. And so, folks, for the beginning of this year, I proclaim to you your year of freedom, the year of the Lord's favor upon you. Go and be oaks of righteousness, firmly planted in God's grace and in God's vineyard. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks again for the ministry of your word. Lord, as we think about your freedom, we not only need it for ourselves, but Lord, we also need it for those whom we call enemies, those whom we don't like very much this morning. Perhaps we feel justified in our hatred and our dislike. Lord, show us the ill and the wrong of that thinking as well. But Lord, we do pray that if the freedom of Christ is real, then I need to be set free of my prejudices, of my hatreds. And Lord, may I love people as you love them. Lord, help me to live out my freedom. Help us all to live out our freedom as the oaks of righteousness that we are. So Holy Spirit, please speak to us, we pray.